Ronald Reagan, who was a president, wrote to his father-in-law, who was a doctor and an atheist. And I thought, Ronald Reagan was known for writing letters. I'm known for not writing letters. But he had a gift. And this is not a political thing, as hopefully you'll see, it's a spiritual thing. Because his father-in-law was dying with cancer as an atheist. And this is what he wrote. And I appreciate Debbie reading it for us.
It is a beautiful story. Before I read this, I would like to just say, our hearts are broken, as you can well imagine. Our sister lost, and her husband lost their daughter. And she was 23 years old. 24 years old. Beautiful, beautiful girl. She had come through cancer. She was a survivor. And that's how they identified the body, because there was no other identifying ability. She had a pink ribbon tattooed on her wrist, and that's how they identified her. And her precious little baby, with a shock of red hair like you just can't believe, is very critical. Keep her in your thoughts and prayers. She's a long way from being well, and we don't know what to expect when she does wake up. So just keep her in her prayers and the family. Thank you for that. I know you have been, and we love you for it. Thank you so much. Jim asked me to read this. You probably should know that his father-in-law's name is Loyal, L-O-Y-A-L. So it was written August 7th, 1982. Dear Loyal, I hope you'll forgive me for this, but I've been wanting to write to you ever since we talked on the phone. I'm aware of the strain you're under, and I believe with all my heart that there's help for that. First, I want to tell you of a personal experience I've kept to myself for a very long time. During my first year as governor, you'll recall the situation I found in California was almost as bad as the one I found in Washington today. It seemed as if the problems were endless and insolvable. Then I found myself with an ulcer. In all those years at Warner Brothers, no one had been able to give me an ulcer, and I felt ashamed as if it were a sign of weakness on my part. John Sharp had me on Maalox. John Sharp is his doctor. Had me on Maalox, and I lived with a constant pain that ranged from discomfort to deeply sharp attacks. This went on for many months. I had a bottle of Maalox in my desk, my briefcase, and of course, at my home. One morning I got up and I went into the bathroom and I reached for the bottle as always, and something happened. I knew I didn't need it. I had gone to bed with the usual pain the night before, but I knew in the morning I was healed. The Maalox went right back on the shelf. That morning when I arrived at the office, Helene brought me my mail. The first letter I opened was from a lady, a stranger, in the southern part of the state. She had written to tell me that she was one of a group who met every day to pray for me. Believe it or not, the second letter was from a man, again a stranger, in the other end of the state, telling me he was part of a group that met weekly to pray for me. Coincidence? I don't think so. A couple of weeks later, Nancy and I went down to LA and we had our annual medical checkups. John Sharp, a little puzzled, told me I no longer had an ulcer, and then he added, "And not only that, but there's no indication that you ever had one." My word of honor, I never told him about that particular day in Sacramento. There's a line in the Bible, where ever two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be also. Loyal, I know of your feeling, your doubt, but could I just impose on you a little bit longer? Some 700 years before the birth of Christ, the ancient Jewish prophets predicted the coming of a Messiah. They said he would be born in a lowly place, would proclaim himself to be the Son of God, and would be put to death for saying that. All in all, there were a total of 123 specific prophecies about his life, all of which came true. Crucifixion was unknown in those days, yet it was foretold that he would be nailed to a cross of wood. And one of the predictions was that he would be born of a virgin. Now, I know that that is probably the hardest for you as a doctor to accept. The only answer that that can be given is, it's a miracle. But Loyal, I don't find that as great a miracle as the actual history of his life. Either he was who he said he was, or he was the greatest faker and charlatan who'd ever lived. But would a liar and a faker suffer the death that he did when all he had to do to save himself was admit he was lying? The miracle is that a young man of 30 years, without credentials as a scholar or a priest, began preaching on street corners. He owned nothing but the clothes on his back, and he didn't travel beyond a circle less than 100 miles across. He did this for only 3 years and then was executed as a common criminal. But for 2,000 years, he has had more impact on this world than all the teachers, the scientists, emperors, generals, and admirals who ever lived, all combined. The Apostle John said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life." We've been promised that all we have to do is ask God in Jesus' name to help when we have done all that we can, when we've come to the end of our strength and abilities, and we will have that help. We only have to trust him and have faith in his infinite goodness and mercy. Loyal, you and Edith have known a great love, more than many have been permitted to know. That love will not end with the end of this life. We've been promised that this is only a part of life and that a greater life, a greater glory awaits us. It awaits you together one day, and all that is required for you to have it is that you believe and you tell God you put yourself in his hands. Love, Ronnie.